My authentic self has nothing to do with where I started at. My authentic self is about who I am as a person. Who I am as a person is a person who is always growing, developing, evolving, and getting better.
Stayallday.com.
Freeze exceptional.
Work on your game.
I like the approach.
Work on your fucking game.
Everybody has, relates to what Dre's saying in a different way.
Work on your game.
I like the way he thinks.
Work on your fucking game.
I like the frameworks that he's put together.
Work on your game.
And I would highly recommend it to anybody that's trying to work on their game.
Work on your fucking game.
I think it's a good approach. It's a different approach, too.
Hey, you, work on your game.
Gave me something really good.
Work on your game. DreAllDay.com.
And his philosophy makes a lot of sense.
Not only work on your game, perfect your craft.
Work on your game.
He knows how to communicate in such a fabulous way.
I can't say it enough.
Work on your game. You are now tuned into the show where you learn the discipline to show up day after day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there, even when the success you've expected to achieve has yet to be achieved. And on top of all this, you get a huge dose of personal initiative. That is the go-getter energy that moves any one of us, including yourself, to go and make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen. And then we put all this together into a series of frameworks, approaches, insights, strategies, and techniques all underneath the umbrella of one unifying philosophy that is called work on your game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day, and welcome to the show. And today's topic is, we are picking up on our series of the reasons why you may be in fear of success. We are picking up on episode number 9, if my count is right, of what will be a 10-part series. So we got this one and the next one coming up tomorrow. And this will conclude the longest series, at least as of this recording, in the history of the Work On Your Game Masterclass. But if you call the whole show a series, then this is the longest series ever in the audio space, at least as far as I know. Maybe somebody got me beat, but I'm gonna beat them. Eventually they're gonna get tired. But before we get into picking up on this, let me give you a couple housekeeping things. Number one, daily motivation text. This text goes out every single day, at least it traditionally has. As of this recording, we still don't have that going again, but it will be going again. That's why I still keep mentioning it. Text me at my number 305-384-6894. So when it goes back, you'll immediately be picking up right where we left off. And anybody who's missed some time on that, we're gonna make up for it. Trust me, I always do. Secondly, Work On Your Game University. That is a place where I work with high-level performers who want to perform at your highest level, do so consistently, and make more money in your business. Go to workonyourgameuniversity.com. Our four-part framework is based around mindset, strategy, systems, and accountability, and a bunch of subtopics underneath all of those. If you want to work with me directly, listening to this show, you got a pretty good idea of who I am, what I'm about, and how I do what I do. You want to work with me directly, have me as your direct coach, go to workonyourgameuniversity.com. All that out the way. Let's pick up where we left off again. I don't have to give too much intro here. You can go back to episode number 1 of this series, or part number 1 of this series, which is episode number 2843, if you need a background on why I'm talking about this and where it comes from. But without further ado, then, let's pick up on point number 25, which is where we left off. Why you may fear success. Number 5, you are in fear of becoming arrogant, whatever you define as arrogant. Now, these two terms, arrogance, and actually, before I even get into that, let me go into what it means. When people say they may be holding themselves back from success, or when they're holding themselves back from success, and their reasoning is, I don't want to feel arrogant, or I don't want to be arrogant. You don't want to start feeling as if you are positioning yourself as if you are too good for other people. Maybe the people who you're currently around, or your family members, or your friends, or your community, or your coworkers. And this goes perfectly with our prior point, which is about violating your own values. See, when you're clear on your values and principles and the type of person you are, especially with the things about yourself that should never change regardless of what changes around you, such as your success, then you can stay rooted to your principles regardless of what changes in your life, i.e. you having more success, you making more money, you elevating yourself to a higher status in your career, in your business, etc. However, as I said in the previous point as well, many people do not have clear principles, so this is actually a moot point that, okay, your values will keep you rooted in a certain place no matter what you do. We'll see, if you don't have any values, then there's nothing to keep you rooted anywhere because you don't have any values. You don't really know what you're about, what you're standing for, and what you're not standing for. So before I go further, let's be clear when I talk about this word arrogance. And this is another word that is, and many of these get brought up here on the show, arrogance, cockiness. These two words are two words that people will use to describe someone whose level of confidence is out of whack with what the speaker sees as being okay, acceptable, normal, or, you know, just healthy. So you say this person's arrogant because you believe that their confidence is just a little bit higher level, or maybe a lot higher level than a should be. And I've heard people describe arrogance and cockiness in many different ways, but here's the way that I've described it. I have a video on YouTube that was pretty popular that I've talked about this, and also in a couple of my TEDx talks, I've talked about this as well, that arrogance and cockiness are relative terms, that you can look at another person and consider them to be arrogant or cocky, whereas the next person will look at that same individual, look at them and say, well, this person's not confident enough. Their confidence is just too low. This person doesn't believe in themselves enough. So how can it be this big of a discrepancy between how you see that person, how someone else sees that person? The reason that can exist is because, as I just said, this is a relative term, meaning how I see things and how you see things are just based on our own personal perspectives. There's no objective measurement of confidence. There's no objective measurement of arrogance or cockiness. So nobody can be right or wrong and call another person arrogant or cocky, regardless of how you can describe it or the supporting evidence you may supply that allows you to or positions you to have the opinion that you have. It's always going to be a relative term, even if everybody agrees that a certain person's cocky or a certain person's arrogant. Just because everyone agrees does not make it a fact that makes it a widely held opinion. And there's a difference between the two. So this whole thing with arrogance and cockiness, and this is what I said of a YouTube video I did maybe 10 years ago, is that when your level of confidence or your perceived level of confidence, because again, confidence can't be measured. You can't objectively measure someone's confidence like you can measure someone's weight or their height. So your perceived level of confidence, when it's a lot higher than what the person who is perceiving you sees as okay or acceptable or normal or maybe what they would do, then they may choose to put a negative label on your confidence because it allows them to feel better about the fact that your level of confidence seems to be way higher than maybe what they think it should be for whatever reason. Maybe because it's relative to them, maybe because they think maybe you're not as good as how you may be conducting yourself or whatever reason. Who knows what the reason may be? We're not even going to get into that here today. But when someone calls you arrogant or cocky, or you are telling yourself that you don't want to be arrogant or cocky, what you're really doing is projecting what you think other people might think about you, and you're playing defense against something that didn't even happen. So you're kind of driving with your emergency brake on is what I call this. You're trying to stop yourself from doing something that hasn't even happened yet, and you're trying to preclude yourself from having a negative label slapped on you that hasn't even been slapped on you yet based on your projection of what you think other people might be thinking. All right, you see how you're twisting yourself in circles here just by me explaining that? How you're twisting yourself in knots mentally and emotionally over something that hasn't even occurred. And even if it did occur, let me let you in on a secret or remind you of something that's an open secret. You can't control what other people think. First of all, you don't know what other people are thinking. You are only thinking what they're thinking. You're guessing what another person is thinking. Even if someone tells you what they're thinking, they could be lying to you, because has somebody tell you something that you knew was a lie or that you believe was a lie? Of course you have. Have you ever told someone something that actually was a lie? Of course you have. We've all done it. So you never know what another person is thinking. And no human being has the ability to read another person's mind. So you taking actions in your life or stopping yourself from taking actions because you are concerned with what another person might think is a exercise in futility. Because again, you can't control another person's thoughts and you don't even know what another person is thinking. So you should never make decisions based on other people's thought patterns, because who the hell cares about their thought patterns? Now, the only exceptions to this would be something like if you are running some type of political campaign and you're trying to get votes. Well, you should care what other people think, because their thoughts are probably going to lead to how they vote. And if you want to win, then you probably need to get their thoughts to be favorable with regards to you. So in places like that, where people's subjective thoughts and then their subsequent actions may control your outcomes, sure. But in other places, and what I'm talking about here generally, it's just what people think about you, or what more specifically, what you think they think about you, doesn't matter at all. Because again, you never really know. And secondly, even if you did know, who cares? You can't base your actions in life around what other people are thinking or what you think other people are thinking, because there'll always be somebody who's going to think something that if you took it to heart would mean you need to do something different. Well, maybe you don't want to do anything different. Maybe you should just condition yourself, and I would suggest this, to say, well, to hell with what another person thinks. And even if that person is one of your peers, your coworker, your family members, someone you grew up with, someone you used to be equal with, but now you're way ahead of them and they are thinking something negative about you, or at least you think they're thinking something negative about you because you're so much further ahead than them. Well, hey, that's their problem. That is not your business. As the saying goes, what another person thinks about you is not your business. And it isn't your business for the reasons that I've already told you. Number one, you don't actually know what they're thinking. You're just suspecting what they're thinking. Number two, even if you did know what they're thinking, what you gonna do about it? Has any of you ever successfully changed another person's thoughts? Now, you may think you have. You can influence another person's thoughts. That's not the same as changing them. The only way someone's thoughts can change is by their personal choice. They have to choose to change their thoughts. You cannot change another person's thoughts. You can influence, you can suggest, but you can't change it. There are people who listen to this show who tell me the things that they have done differently or how they have grown themselves or adjusted themselves in some way based on the fact that they consume my material, whether the written material, audio material, video material. And I appreciate that and appreciate the feedback. And we absolutely use it for social proof. If you'd like to see that, go to alldreallday.com. You can see a lot of social proof we have, more than you have time to read or watch. However, I can never give myself credit for changing another person's thought patterns. I can help influence, I can help guide, I can help suggest, but I can't change the way that you think. You have to change the way that you think. Now, my material can help you change, but you must choose to change. And even in Work on Your Game University, you listen to the show, you hear me talk about the university every episode. And I tell you, the first thing we do in the university is we work on your mindset, bulletproof mindset. But understand that the bulletproof mindset framework itself is not going to change your mindset. And what it's going to do is show you how to change your mindset. You're going to actually change your mindset because you had to change your thoughts. I'm going to show you exactly how to do it, when to do it, where to do it, why to do it, what steps to take here, do this, then this, then this, then this. But you have to choose to do it. You have to choose to follow it. And see, this is the reason why many people don't change in life, is whether we're talking about mindset or anything else, because you have to make a voluntary, conscious, and intentional choice to change. Most people never do that. This is why most people don't change. This is why I can confidently state most people never change. Because you have to make a voluntary choice, and most people never make that choice. It's just what it is. All right? Don't shoot the messenger, just the truth. What you need to understand here is not really about other people. What you need to understand is about you and make sure you're not one of those people who never changes. That's what you should do, because you can't change everybody. All right. There was only one Jesus, as far as I know, and Jesus tried to save everybody, and even he didn't do it. All right. So unless you have that level of ability, all right, even if with that level of ability, you couldn't succeed. Jesus couldn't even do it. So who are you? What are you going to do? So your job is not to change another person's thoughts. So this whole concept of arrogance, this is something that, again, I talked about from a basketball angle back in that video. I was using basketball as the frame, but you can apply it to any aspect of life. It's a relative term, and again, often used by people who see your self-assurance or your confidence as out of whack for what they think you should have for whatever reason. Again, maybe they're comparing it to themselves. Maybe they're looking at you and they think maybe you're just not that good. Whatever. And I've had these kind of things thrown at me for years because I've been online for 20 years saying the things that I've said. And any of you who's followed a good amount of my material know that I will step on some things that most people are afraid to talk about. And I've gotten all kinds of these kind of things thrown. I got people calling me arrogant. You're cocky. You're this, you're that. Well, it was all in the eyes of the beholder. And I only got two eyes. All right? What you see in your eyes is not my business. Whether you like it, whether you dislike it, whether you are neutral, whether you don't care at all, none of it is my business. And what other people see in their eyes is not your business. So when you fear becoming successful because you think you will become quote unquote arrogant, which is again, your projection of what other people think, you're only talking about what you're thinking about yourself, not what anybody else thinks of you. And you're using other people as a canvas, as an excuse for that thought. Because if someone calls you arrogant and you disagree, then what? What do you do? What if somebody tells you that you're arrogant and you don't think you're arrogant? Are they right or are they wrong? What does that mean? What would you do? Would you change how you're being because somebody else called you arrogant and you don't agree with them? Again, it doesn't matter then, right? So it shouldn't matter now, all right, before it even happens. Despite all the YouTube, basketball, even this show, I started as a writer and I am still a prolific writer. As a matter of fact, I send out emails damn near every day. I call this the Daily Game email. I want you to get this every day to your inbox completely for free. So simply go to workonmygame.com. That's workonmygame.com and get my emails directly to your inbox every day free of charge. Again, that's workonmygame.com. You know what is the biggest thing that separates the high level performers from everyone else out there? It is not talent. It is not hard work. It is not resources. It is not knowledge. It is not skill. It is the fact that they have a process and a strategy for how to show up and give their best effort, even on the days when they don't feel like being at work. Has any of you ever had one of those days? Is any of you having one of those days right now? That day is called the third day. We put a label on it and we describe exactly what it is in my new book called The Third Day, The Decision That Separates the Pros from the Amateurs. In this book, I will not only describe to you what the third day is, but I will help you create a formula for yourself for you to show up and give your best effort, even on those days when you don't even feel like going to work. in that book, you're going to become a professional and no longer be an amateur. I'll give you a free copy of it, as a matter of fact. All you have to do is cover the shipping. Just go to thirddaybook.com. Again, thirddaybook.com. Point number 26. Today's topic, once again, is why you are in fear, possibly, of success. And we're going over the reasons why this could be. Point number 26 is that your weaknesses will be exposed. This is a good one. This point is a good one and a substantial one, because the reason why this is a substantial point is because every human being has weaknesses. Every human has weaknesses. Now, some humans' weaknesses are more obvious to see than others. Some humans are more open about their weaknesses than others. And some humans' weaknesses are more exploitable than that of others. And also, some human beings are good at, the more self-aware someone is, the more aware you are of your weaknesses, maybe the better you can position yourself to where the weakness doesn't matter as much. Or you can use the weakness basically to your own advantage, depending on how you position yourself in life. So the whole point being, everyone has weaknesses. So when you become more successful, usually that what comes with success is more visibility. You're more known, you're more seen, you're more obvious. People notice you more when you create more success. Success just draws attention. And since you have weaknesses, this one is a real one. This one is not fake. This is not a perception. This is a real thing. Because the more successful you are, the more you will be seen. The more you're seen, the more you are being exposed, period, positively or negatively. And because you have weaknesses, then your weaknesses may become more viewable and visible to other people. So this one is 100% real and 100% true. We already discussed in many points throughout this series, as you become more successful, again, you have that spotlight on you. And it may be a bigger or smaller spotlight, depending on what type of success and who gives a damn about that success and who you are. All that combined equals more scrutiny. More success means more scrutiny. And whatever weaknesses you have, they probably will be more noticeable by more people simply because there is more attention on you because of your success. Your possible weaknesses can be held under a microscope, possibly. They will be exposed, noted, talked about, thrown in your face, maybe even used against you. All of these things are true. They are real, and they will happen the more successful you become. For example, in basketball, when you're a player, as many times it's happened, any of you who's a basketball fan, but if you're not, that's okay. You'll understand this point still. Actually, this happens in many sports. Actually, every sport this happens, but I'll stick to a couple sports that I know it happens specifically. Basketball is one. Football is one. Baseball is one. Probably happens in hockey. I don't know hockey as well. Boxing is another sport where this happens. When a player comes out and they're not really being noticed that much, like they're a good player, solid player, let's say at the pro level, they're a good player, but they're not the main focus of their opponents. Like you're good, but it's not like everybody's like, man, we got to stop this guy or this girl so we can win. They're not looking at you like that. They know you're there, but they're not focused on you. And then you come out there and you have a great game, or you have a great string of games, or maybe even a great season. And you're dominating, you're doing all your things. Now everybody's talking about you like, man, look at this player. Nobody was talking about him or her 3 weeks ago or last season, but now everybody's talking about them because they're dominating. Here's what happens. When that happens, now all of a sudden, the scouts, and those are the people who watch the opponents that they're going to play, they're looking at the team that they're going to play against, which is your team. And now they see that you're the star. All right, you're the quarterback who's lighting up the NFL. You're the basketball player scoring 30 points a game. You're the boxer who's knocking everybody out. And again, 3 months ago, 3 weeks ago, nobody was really thinking about you. But now, because you've been so good in your performance, i.e. your success, now you got a spotlight on you. Now everyone notices you. Now you're not sneaking up on anyone. Now everybody knows your name. So what happens? The scouts for your future opponents, now everybody's watching you in detail. Now they put you under the microscope. Now you have a spotlight on you. And guess what? Any weakness you have, now they're going to know about it. See, you had those same weaknesses 3 weeks ago, but nobody noticed it because nobody was giving a damn about you. But now, because of the success you've created and the visibility you have drawn to yourself, now every weakness you have, now they notice it. Now people are going to start picking that apart. Now the next time you play against those same teams, now they know your tendencies. So now they're going to start using those against you. Now they know your weakness. So now they're going to start sending you towards the weakness. So they know your left hand is not that good at dribbling. So now everybody's sending you to your left. You can't beat them going to the right anymore. Now they know that you can't read a zone coverage on defense. So now they're going to disguise the zone coverage and force you to throw incomplete passes and interceptions and get sacked. See, now they notice that. Now they know your jab's not that good. So they're going to take away your power punches and make you throw the jab that you can't win with. And now it's going to be harder for you to win fights. So now, because you've created that success, it actually starts to work in a way against you, because now everybody's focused on you. Now, what do you need? Now, first of all, you got to keep developing your game. You got to keep working on your game, because if you just keep showing up with the same game you had before, it ain't going to keep working. Like, take someone like Michael Jordan, for example. He came into the NBA, was a dynamic player, came in out the gate as rookie of the year, dominating. But people realize, okay, well, Jordan, if he goes to the hole, he's going to destroy us. So we got to keep him on the outside. Don't let him drive to the hole. Make him shoot from the outside. He wasn't a terrible shooter, but he was better at driving than he was at shooting. So what did Michael Jordan do? He had to develop that part of his game so that shooting was not a weakness anymore, so that he could still be the dominant player without being able to do the main thing that he started off doing, because the scouting report got adjusted for him. And what happens a lot of times in sports is when a scouting report adjusts and puts more focus on one guy, that one guy can't maintain that level of performance. That's why the superstars are so few and far between, because when you have a target on your back, think LeBron James, think Tom Brady, think Serena Williams, think any sport where to think of Floyd Mayweather. Everybody's watching you. Everybody's looking at you in detail, trying to find any little weakness that they can use to beat you, because everybody's trying to beat you because you're the main person. And you can stay up there and still keep beating everybody despite the fact that everybody's trying to find a weakness to exploit and you still win anyway. That's what makes you a superstar. And that's why those people whose names I just mentioned, all of you can picture what they look like. You know exactly what sport they play, and why they're great is the reason why I just told you, because very few people can do that. When everyone's trying to find a weakness in you and use it against you and you win anyway, that means you got to be pretty damn good. And that takes a ton of mental toughness. When the scouting report in the sports world, what we call it is the scouting report is all about you. That's what they say. That's the saying that we use. That is a whole different ballgame when you are sneaking up on everyone and nobody even was thinking about you and you have a great game. Then when the scouting report is all about you, everyone is focused for the whole week on how we're going to stop you, and you still have a good game. Oh, that's a whole different level. Okay, everybody following me here? Okay, so because those same weaknesses that existed when you were nobody, they still exist when you become a somebody. The difference is just more people know about them. All right, the more successful you become, again, those weaknesses, you can continue to work on your game so that they're no longer weaknesses. Hopefully you close those gaps before your opponents open those gaps up and make them into wide open canyons, right? In basketball, again, you're the fifth or sixth player on the team, you score a bunch of points, that's cool. But when you're the number one person, everyone knows, let's see you score a bunch of points then. Because the whole other team is setting up to beat you. The best player usually has the full attention of the opposing team before the game even starts. And so they know that you are a good athlete and you drive to the hole and you dunk on people. They're like, all right, let him do whatever he wants, don't let him dunk. All right, don't let him go to the hole. Let's see what else he can do. All right, so you always got that, the scouting report about the team's best player, because that player is the one the other team says, if we stop them, we can win the game. Can you still have a good game then? See, it's much harder than when nobody's paying attention. So it becomes this game of whack-a-mole where you got to take care of your weaknesses before your opponents do. This can become a source of distress, meaning your performance goes down because now you got all this attention, or it can be a source of eustress. You can use this as good stress. Okay, now everybody sees that my left hand is not as good as my right hand when I'm dribbling. So guess what I got to do? I got to develop my ability with my left hand so that this is no longer a weakness. They say I'm not that good of a shooter. Okay, let me become a better shooter. So this is no longer a weakness. So you can close up those gaps and look at that as a positive challenge, or you can look at it as, oh, well, I can't do my thing anymore, so I might as well just curl up and do nothing. And this is a choice. Have you ever wondered why so many people have big goals and big dreams for themselves and they work hard every single day, yet they never reach their goals? You ever wondered about that? I have, and I found out the reason why this happens is because most people never ask themselves a key third question, which is, who do I need to be while I'm doing what I'm doing so that I can have what I want to have? You see, if you never fix your mindset and the way that you're thinking about a situation and the way you think about yourself and the way you see yourself in the mirror, then it doesn't matter what you do and it doesn't matter what you want. You will never get there because you simply have an inaccurate formula. I wrote the book called The Mirror of Motivation, which addresses this first question, who do I need to be? And when you answer that question, then when you do what you need to do, it will produce the outcomes that you have and what you want to have. If that sounds like it might be the missing link in your process, and let me let you know, it is the missing link in your process, go to mirrorofmotivation.com. All you do is cover the shipping, and I'm gonna give you a free copy of that book physically mailed to your doorstep. Again, mirrorofmotivation.com, so you can be who you need to be, then do what you need to do, and then you're gonna have what you want to have in your life. mirrorofmotivation.com. Point number 27. Today's topic, once again, we are talking why you may fear success. Number 27, could you no longer be authentic? Maybe you're just not real anymore because you're successful. And this is one that is really rooted in mindset. All of these are rooted in mindset, but this is a deep-rooted mindset thing. It's really about your confidence in yourself and who you actually believe that you are. Because a lot of people's consciousness and their self-image is rooted in your averageness, your below averageness, your just being one of the guys or one of the girls. So for you to become wildly successful, well, guess what? You're no longer average. You're no longer one of the guys or one of the girls. You're above them. And many people can't maintain their success, or they choose not to maintain their success, because it would mean separating yourself from everybody else in the group. And a lot of people don't want to be that person, so they rather hold themselves back and not separate by actually showing their full ability, because they're more comfortable in that space. That's their comfort zone. Give you an example. There's an author by the name of Ibram X. Kendi. I mentioned him a few times. Did a full series on one of his books. He wrote a book called How to Be Anti-Racist, which I was not in agreement with many of the conclusions that Mr. Kendi came to in his book. And I covered that in episode 1788. I did a four-part series on it if you would like to hear those episodes. But there is one thing specifically that Mr. Kendi said in his book that I did agree with. I didn't disagree with everything in his book. I disagreed with about 60% of it, but there was a good amount. And it was some that I was neutral on. There was maybe 15 to 20% that I agreed with. And this is one of the 15 to 20%. He talked about how at one point he moved into this, I think he was studying at Temple University, which is in my hometown, Philadelphia. And while he was studying at Temple, he moved into an apartment in this rundown ghetto area of Philadelphia, and basically in the hood, deep in the hood in Philadelphia. And he had told himself, consciously, he thought to himself, okay, now I'm getting the quote unquote real Black experience because I'm here living in the hood and living in the ghetto. And he came to realize, and he wrote this in his book, that this is a poor way, is an unhealthy way of framing what it means to be Black. Like living in the ghetto and living in some rundown neighborhood does not equate to Blackness. And he basically checked himself. He talked about in the book how he checked himself on that line of thinking. This I agree with. But there are many people who never check themselves on that, and they actually think the exact opposite, that being real or being authentic means being average, being okay, and you know, being at this lower level where you fade in, you blend in with the masses. And this is, again, one of the main reasons a lot of people never move themselves forward in life, not because they can't, but because they don't want to. They just want to be one of the people. They want to be one of the masses and part of the group rather than separating themselves and standing out. Again, of all the things that Mr. Kendi said in his book, this is one of the few things that I do agree with. And there are many people who have this mindset, so I appreciate him for saying this part. And this is especially true in the Black community. The Black people who are listening to this right now, you know this is true. Some of you are guilty of it yourselves. And I can speak to this because I'm Black and I come from this community. I come from these type of neighborhoods that Mr. Kendi is talking about. And there are many Black people who tend to have this mindset that the less successful you are, or the more average you are, the more real you are, the more authentic that is. And as you become more successful, you lose a bit of your realness and your connection to where you come from, because you are so different from the people who are still there, the people who maybe came up with you, but they stayed back and you moved ahead. So you're not as real anymore because you're not there anymore. Tupac has a line in one of his songs. Tupac has a song called I Ain't Mad At You. And he has a line where he says, so many questions and they ask me if I'm still down. I moved up out of the ghetto, so I ain't real now. And he says it as a question, like, I'm not in the ghetto anymore. So what? That means I'm not real anymore just because I don't live in the ghetto anymore. And again, it's a legitimate question. And that song came out 25, almost 30 years ago. And this is the way that a lot of Black people have thought. Now, if you're not Black, I don't know what happens in your culture. You can fill in that gap. But I know it to be true in the Black community. So this is the case. And it's a very important thing that when people have this mindset, as I become more successful, I lose some of my authenticity. Because many people start in one place in life and they die in the same spot. Again, from how many different angles have you heard me talk about that? People become one type of person and they never grow. They never get better. They never change. In any way, positively or negatively, except they just get older, fatter, and uglier, as I've always said, in a tongue-in-cheek type of way. It is true that people who come from average and below average circumstances, the more successful you become, the further away you will move from where you started. This is true. I come from a lower middle-class background. The more success I've created, the further I move away from the people who are still in that environment or still have the mindset of that environment. It is 100% true. The better I get, the further away I move from those people. But my authenticity has not gone away at all, even though I'm not there anymore. Even though my mindsets have changed drastically from where I come from, I'm still my authentic self, because here's the reason. My authentic self has nothing to do with where I started at. My authentic self is about who I am as a person. Who I am as a person is a person who is always growing, developing, evolving, and getting better. All right. So even when I was in that lower middle class space, I was a person who was growing, evolving and getting better, which meant it was only natural that I moved up out of that space and moved into a better space. My authenticity hasn't changed at all, even though, you know, I'm in a different neighborhood, different places, hanging around different people, have different luxuries, access to things, different resources. You know, wear these suits now. It's a lot different than where I came from 20, 30 years ago, but I'm still the same authentic person. And the authenticity of me as a person is about who I see myself as, not who other people think I should be. That's the key. That's the key point that you need to get. And when you can have that type of mindset, doesn't matter where you go, there you are. And that's, if you read Letters from a Stoic, which is a book that is a compilation of Luis Seneca's, who's one of the founding fathers of the Stoicism movement. He talks about this a lot. Now, you can read Ryan Holiday, who's a more contemporary person talking about Stoicism, but I would suggest you go to the root and read Seneca. Being authentic means being true to yourself and your principles, not true to what other people think you are or what you should be. That's the key point right there. Authenticity is not about where you're from or your hood or your neighborhood or your family or any of those things. I'm not saying that they don't matter. What I'm saying is authenticity is you being true to yourself and how you see the person in the mirror, not what other people think. I don't care who they are. They could be your spouse. They could be your kids. It could be your parents. It's about how you see you, not how other people see you. This is why you need to be strong about who you see in the mirror. And it is more important than what anybody else thinks or says about you. It's about what you say about you. And if you haven't said anything about you, then it makes sense that it's easy for other people's opinions to move you to behaviors that you may otherwise not want to take. Let's recap. Picking up on point number 25 here again, we are on this part 9 of our series of why you may be in fear of success. Number 25, you're afraid of becoming arrogant. You don't want to start feeling like you're too good for other people, but understand arrogance and cockiness are relative terms that are all based in the eyes of the beholder. And the only eyes beholding that really matter are yours, because you can't control other people's thoughts. And most of the time, you don't know other people's thoughts. Even when they tell you what they're thinking, they might not even be telling you the truth. So don't even worry yourself with that. Number 26, weaknesses being exposed. This one is real, because the more success you create, the more visible you become, you're more under a spotlight and people will notice whatever weaknesses you have, because every human being has weaknesses. It's just a matter of, can you close those gaps before they get opened by your opponents, and or can you figure out a way to turn those weaknesses into strengths? So even though people may know it's a weakness, they can't use it against you, because it actually makes it better for you the more you use that quote unquote weakness to your personal advantage. So that's just a mental alchemy, a way of controlling the situation and making things work in your favor. And this is really a matter of mental toughness. And number 27, are you no longer authentic because you became successful? Again, this is rooted in a poor mindset, unhealthy self-image, that being average and being below average or being a normal, quote unquote, normal person, which is synonymous with average, is real. All right, that is not real. Real is about you being true to yourself and your values. Now, if yourself and your values are about being average, then okay, then it is real. But I don't think most of you want to be average. And now if you listen to a show like this, you're not trying to be average. And if you are trying to be average, you're listening to the wrong show. Sorry, I wasted 30 minutes of your time. Those of you who are looking to be something other than average, above average, which I guess most of you want to be, okay, then it has nothing to do with where you're from. It's about where you're going. How you see yourself and where you see yourself moving in the future is the most valuable asset that you have. Paul Arden said that in his book titled, "It is not how good you are, it's how good you want to be." How good do you want to be? And if being good means you're no longer real, then what you need to do is not stop being good. What you need to do is go to work on that poor mindset that you have that is causing you to even think that way, and get away from people who think like that, that are making you, who are reinforcing that nonsense mindset in you. That said, tomorrow we'll be going into the final installment of this series. Make sure you're texting me so you're in my text community. Number's down below in the description. And to work with me directly, have me as your direct coach, go to workonyourgameuniversity.com so we can get you performing at your highest level, doing it consistently, and making more money in your business. Again, workonyourgameuniversity.com. Work on your game. Dre, all day. While you are here, don't forget to text me so you can be part of my texting community, where you can ask me questions. You can share challenges with me. You are messaging me directly. You can get a direct response from me, because I do read and reply to my messages. My number again, 305-384-6894. One more time, 305-384-6894. Make sure you text me, because you never know when I'm going to send a message that could be the one thing you need to hear, the one thing you need to do, the one insight you need to get that could change your life. Make sure you message me, 305-384-6894. Do you know what the number one key is for you to advance and get to a higher level from where you are right now? It is not for you to work harder, wake up earlier, or go to sleep later. No, it is for you to get the right insight. In other words, to ask yourself the right questions. These questions are usually questions that you don't have the answer to, but dealing with those questions opens the door for you getting to that next level that you want to reach. How do you get help with this? By getting coaching, by getting around other people who can see things that you don't see, who have perceptions and insights that you don't have. This is why coaching is as valuable as it is, and this is why higher level performers always invest in coaching. The best way you can do that from here is to go to workonyourgameuniversity.com. That is the only place I offer coaching, the only place I work with anyone directly. If you just go to workonyourgameuniversity.com, you can see all your options for getting involved with us and engaging and having someone coaching you so that you can take yourself to that next level again through insight, not just through effort. Again, it's workonyourgameuniversity.com.